All right, one moment, ladies and gentlemen. One moment.
Keelan.
That, this. And we're past 10:15. We're pretty much right on time.
Can I have my staff come up, please?
Carla, could we please turn to the next time certain item, number 926?
Yes. Declare support for a robust standard of civil rights, Title VI, and ADA, Title II, compliance throughout city bureaus and offices, and direct the Office of Equity and Human Rights to lead coordination by setting citywide policies and accountability measures.
Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you, Mayor. When I helped start the Office of Equity in 2011 with Mayor Sam Adams, the Council acknowledged that civil rights compliance is foundational to the work of this office. The Office of Equity has adopted administrative rules implementing that charge and is not required to bring this item to Council. So the purpose of this resolution is to emphasize the City's obligation to follow Civil Rights Title VI and ADA Title II, and for Council to pledge to hold ourselves, our bureaus, and one another accountable for implementing it. Dr. Markeisha Smith, the Director of the Office of Equity and Human Rights, and her staff have done excellent work in elevating this work on behalf of the Office of Equity and the City as a whole, in partnership with all of the City bureaus. And Dr. Smith will introduce our panel.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner Fritz, and good morning to everyone.
Morning.
So as you know, I became the Office of Equity and Human Rights Bureau Director in February of this year. Danielle and Nicole made it very clear to me right away the importance of civil rights compliance and some of the hurdles they had been facing with pushing out a strong message from our office specific to civil rights. My work at the Oregon Department of Education prior to coming here makes me no stranger to the work of civil rights. At ODE, we took compliance as a serious part of the overall work of equity. There was a balance between the implementation of law and the understanding that proactive learning about civil rights was critical to preempting compliance issues. There were clear directives that ranged from meaningful access to a complaint process. The city has unique challenges when it comes to addressing citywide policy, procedure, and practice that will ultimately impact bureau operations. But these challenges can be effectively addressed through thoughtful, inclusive planning and implementation. The administrative rules that we have recently amended and the meaningful access work to come will soon provide examples of how we are tackling challenges and forging ahead to create access to civil rights education and compliance that is clear, concise, and consistent, and most importantly, user-friendly. As a foundation of equity, civil rights compliance is a core component of operationalizing equity in practice, institutionalizing the work, and designing for and holding ourselves accountable to equitable services and community impacts. Civil rights is more than just access. It's about changing the inputs and processes of decision-making, structuring accountability measures, and tackling results. And ultimately, it's about elevating the work of equity from a business-as-usual model. I'm committed to this work and to making it one of the primary focuses of this Bureau. The Office of Equity and Human Rights recognizes that we cannot do this work in isolation. I've been happy with the receptiveness from commissioners and Bureau directors. And I understand that to simply change administrative rules and provide guidance documents is not enough. We must ensure that those city employees who will be engaged in this work have the tools and professional learning necessary to implement civil rights processes. We are in this together and appreciate your continued support. Danielle and Nicole have worked tirelessly to create policy and guidance for civil rights Title VI and Title II. Without their knowledge, expertise, and guidance, we would not be before you today. I want to take the time to publicly acknowledge their hard work and to thank them, and to also thank the other members of our civil rights team, Jonathan and Tatiana. I appreciate all of you. And with that, I will turn it over to Danielle and Nicole.
And I just want to interject that our presentation is about 20 minutes. If we could hold questions to the end, I think it would flow more understandably for folks at home. Thank you.
Thank you. So, good morning. My name is Nicole Sharon. I am the ADA Title II and Disability Equity Manager for the city. I want to acknowledge that it is hard to follow salmon. Salmon are awesome. I also want to acknowledge my partner, Danielle Brooks, who has, in her tenure at the city, been instrumental in implementing civil rights compliance. I also want to acknowledge Commissioner Fritz, Dr. Smith, Lynn Vu, and Claire Adamsack, who were really instrumental in both collaborating and supporting and championing this happening. So, before I launch into the presentation, I want to clarify something that people sometimes get confused about, which is when we talk about civil rights compliance, we are talking about both Civil Rights Title VI and ADA Title II. They are both civil rights laws. And I also want to be clear that our goal for this presentation today is to not just make the people watching aware of what these laws are, but to really clarify for everyone what the role is of office and of you in supporting this resolution, passing this resolution, and moving forward with doing this work.
All right, thank you, Nicole. Thank you again, Commissioners, Mayor. My name is Danielle Brooks. I'm with the Office of Equity and Human Rights, and I'm the Civil Rights Title VI and Equity Manager at the city. As Nicole spoke to and Marquisha spoke to, our charge is really focused on two different civil rights laws that really work to operationalize equity within the realm of public service and community impacts. Civil Rights Title VI, or Title VI of the 1964 Civil Rights Act, is a groundbreaking piece of legislation, and I'm going to quote President Kennedy here, that's predicated on the notion that simple justice requires that the work of government that all pay into is not designed or conducted in any fashion which encourages, entrenches, subsidizes, or results in racial discrimination. And this was established in 1964, and we're clearly not there yet. This law provides protection for non-discrimination on the basis of race, color, and national origin in public programs, services, and activities of entities that receive federal financial assistance. We are one of those entities, so we're obligated to this non-discrimination law. It's crucially and relevant to our work and practice that discrimination is identified in all of those different subclauses that you see on that slide. Actually includes both discriminatory treatment as well as disparate impacts. And this is really important because it's actions or inactions of government, whether intentional or unintentional, that will result in disparate adverse impacts on communities on the basis of race, color, and national origin. This is a really important piece of our work, and it's crucial to work in public services. It sets this foundation of non-discrimination not only as a goal, but as an expectation and assurance of government. Really important to just quickly point out, this work is dynamic and is always changing, and there are two key executive orders that expanded Title VI. There's a lot of laws and regulations that are related, but these ones are crucially important. Executive Order 12898, also known as the Environmental Justice, not only establishes achieving environmental justice as a principle of Title VI work, but it really also identified that the processes and methods of policymaking and planning contribute to those public program services and activities, and therefore compliance efforts have to focus upstream on these efforts and change these different procedures. Executive Order 13166, or kind of language access executive order, is one that a lot of people are familiar with when it comes to Title VI work. Within this area, there is a recognition that barriers to government experienced by those who are limited English proficient are a part of non-discrimination, or a part of discrimination as it relates to national origin discrimination. As part of compliance actions and assurances to non-discrimination, governments have to plan for and take actions to provide meaningful access and remove those barriers in all of their program services and activities. This work is, again, ever evolving, and we see this as we saw as it provides a foundation for the Title II of the Americans with Disabilities Act.
So ADA Title II, it is essentially just like Civil Rights Title VI in that it was enacted to make sure that people with disabilities are not discriminated against in participation with their government. And what that means specifically is that through ADA Title II, we are eliminating both physical barriers and programmatic barriers. So a lot of what we're doing right now comes out of an audit that was done in 2016 on how well the city was doing with implementing ADA Title II. There are three things that came out of that audit which were the impetus for this kind of reboot of how we're doing compliance. One was how well the bureaus were actually doing their part. And what was really clear was that they were unclear and exactly what their roles and responsibilities were and how exactly they should be going about it. The second thing was that the community had no consistency in the way that they were interacting with the city to make sure that their rights were being met. And then thirdly was resource allocation, the idea that there wasn't enough resources, both at the time Danielle was the only person doing it, but also within the bureaus, that there weren't people designated really to do the work that actually had that as part of their FTE. So one of the things that came up as we were kind of vetting the amendments to the complaint policy were bureaus asked us, why aren't you doing all the protected classes? Why are you only focusing on these two? So in big part, that is because that is not the directive of the Office of Equity. It is actually, so Title 23 covers other protected classes. That lives in the attorney's office. That is not under our authority, it is under theirs. So let's kind of look at some of the different policies and initiatives. You can see on what you're looking at, there are multiple policies and initiatives at the city that have embedded both in principle and value ADA Title II and Civil Rights Title VI. And Danielle and I actually, because we've both been at the city for a very long time, were at the table with things like the Portland Plan. I think it's interesting and important to realize that we have been obligated to these laws for a very long time. Nothing that we are doing now is anything new in the fact that we should have been doing this all along. What we are really doing now is creating really strong standards, really strong direction of how the city will do it, for mostly the benefit of the community, so they know how to engage.
And I think it's important to point out that building in civil rights principles and obligations into all of these different various plans and policies that really drive city work is a part, an action of compliance itself. So we've spent a lot of time really trying to build this foundation so we know that these obligations and standards are really coming through in multiple ways and impacting the bureaus and holding bureaus accountable in multiple ways. But I think it's actually, as Nicole spoke to, we're really trying to focus on how do we actually do this. And I think that it can be a really challenging thing to see. What is it that it looks like when we know that facially neutral programs and practices, and especially in combination, regardless of intent, can lead to disparate impacts? What is it? What does a non-discriminatory agency actually look like? What is it that we're trying to achieve? So in order to do this, we actually had to flip the narrative. And we had to say that our goal, what we're trying to do is to be a equitable agency. That is the opposite of a discriminatory agency, is one that's equitable, accessible. So we have to take active steps to assure and demonstrate that for all, we're providing inclusive, accessible, meaningful participation and engagement, that we're fostering and promoting equitable benefits of government, and that we're assuring that equitable impacts, treatment, and non-discrimination in all city decision-making and in our public program services and activities. So this is the overall intent of our work. And really, again, this is about institutionalizing practices across the board that will lead to this. The Title VI and Title II components, which really do align with equity best practices, set up a framework to meet our objectives and build in accountability structures. And we really focus our work, and compliance focuses our work on some key action areas.
So let's talk about those key action areas. I'm not going to go through all of them. You can see on your paper there's quite a few. I do want to highlight some. One is meaningful access. You've heard us say that a few times now. And actually, Our colleagues will come back to you very soon with a report on that. Meaningful access is really about how do people who have barriers because of the language they speak, because of their inability to see small print, these are barriers that we need to make sure we are being mindful about in providing that access. Danielle mentioned earlier about policy development, right? So this work isn't just what we do as an afterthought of, okay, now we have this program, let's figure out how you access it. It's really about how do we create programs that are already inclusive? How do we adopt plans that already ask those questions of who was left out? How are people impacted? One of the ones I really want to highlight is resource allocation. Right, so you guys have a lot of power over money and budget, and that's part of resource allocation. And one of the things we keep kind of pushing is that bureaus really designate money in their budgets to do this work. It doesn't come out of anywhere. And as a lot of you know, when a complaint comes up, it could be a lot of money. But also, it's about resource allocation of time and energy. We have to be thoughtful about this work, and that does take energy, it takes time, and it takes people to actually be thinking about it and doing it. Accountability. Let's talk about accountability. So one of the main ways in our modern times that we have accountability is through tracking and data. This is an area that we have not actually done a good job with up till now. So a big part of what we are working on is to come up with citywide tracking so that we can have data, not just for if the DOJ comes in and says, how are you doing, but also for bureaus to look and see where are the gaps? What aren't we doing well? And how does the data prove that? One of the big things that we're doing right now is partnering with the 311 Project. And the reason for that is, I talked earlier about how we want to make this as seamless for the community as possible. So with partnering with 311, we are potentially going to have a central point of contact for the community to come and say, I have a complaint or I have a request. And not only will it be more seamless for them, we will then be able to track all that data in a very, it won't be each bureau tracking at least the intake. Bureaus will have to track the way that they triage it, but at least we will have this one central intake that will be tracking how many requests do we get, how many complaints do we get. The other big thing is performance measures. And again, this goes back to the budget, but it's a big deal. And so we are working with the budget office to really come up with performance measures that will demonstrate how accountable we're being. And while that's also on us, those performance measures, it's also on the whole city. And we hope to come back to you. I heard in the earlier about the salmon, they do a report card. We want to be doing that. We want to be bringing you guys report cards that are showing how your bureaus are actually doing with compliance.
And I think one of the important pieces to remember with accountability, we often talk about, sometimes it's tracked on a self-evaluation level, or I think we're doing, a four in this. The part that civil rights adds strength to when it comes to equity work is that we're actually supposed to be accountable to demonstrating our efforts. So it's actually supposed to demonstrate and show and provide evidence of our progress in terms of implementation, but also how we impact communities, so the quality of our work, how those things are actually the results, essentially, of our actions. So it's kind of a two-tiered accountability system. And we know that that's really critical, especially with all of the work that we're doing, when we know that multiple actions of bureaus are affecting communities in different ways. Around the same type of issue or same type of problem. So it's really important that we can tie our actions to actual community results.
So the lawsuit piece, I think, is a big one. All of you were here a year ago
when the Creek settlement came up around curb cuts. We should have been doing that work all along. But because we didn't, when the lawsuit came, or if the DOJ should come in, we are then put on their timeline, and we are then put on their budget demands. We don't want that to happen. We want to be in front of it. We want to make sure we're doing the work at the beginning so that we don't get put on somebody else's schedule to make our city as it should be.
So the drive and foundation from our work really not only just comes from Department of Justice guidance and those outlines and best practices that we see happening across the country, but also from research from other fields, call from community, input from community and other stakeholders, and then again, as Nicole spoke to, the lawsuits. So we're always kind of trying to watch what's happening in different fields to make sure that we're really focusing our efforts on important areas that are truly important to the community, that will be most meaningful to the community, but still being able to maintain our own timeline with our own work. And so I think understanding this, we know that this is obviously a huge amount of work and effort, and it takes an entire city to do. Knowing that, we each kind of have our own roles, but we all want to work together in partnership. The Office of Equity and Human Rights' role is really to be able to identify, develop, and establish citywide policies, establish a framework, establish plans, strategies, in order to meet the goals and intents and our obligations. This includes establishing citywide practice through administrative rulemaking, which we've already spoke to. We just did recently with amendments to our complaint processes. But we also need to be able to create space for bureaus to come together and collaborate and partner with us to kind of establish these policies, as well as support implementation in the bureaus through technical assistance, consulting, training, and being able to uplift the work of the bureaus either to scale or standardize. Again, we really want this to be a partnership effort, and it really is important to know that this happens both in a central role as well as happening in the bureaus on the ground level. Also, our role is to monitor, evaluate, and report to City Council on citywide compliance and be able to share stories of what's happening in the bureaus as they progress in these efforts.
So one of the examples I like to give people about how this should look or how it should function is around how the Portland Bureau of Emergency Management functions, right? So we all know that there are multiple bureaus that have responsibilities in an emergency, both in response, mitigation. PBAM basically coordinates those efforts throughout the Bureau. They're not the ones responding, but they're doing the coordinated effort. They also are the ones that do all of the umbrella plans and all of the umbrella policies to which that coordinated effort gets played out. So that's kind of what we're doing as the Office of Equity. We're the umbrella. We're going to set the foundation. But really, it's got to be that coordinated effort throughout all the bureaus. So what is the role of the bureaus? Well, it's really important that bureaus take on the responsibility of compliance. There's been a lot of question as to, you know, why can't we do more? And really, we don't have the authority nor the knowledge of daily operations in bureaus. They have that. So they have to have a strong role in triaging both the requests and complaints. So their role is to do everything that we're going to do as an umbrella citywide, implemented at the bureau level. What is your role? You have a role to play in this too, my friend. A big part of your role is that in this structure of government that we have, you are the top of your bureaus. So it is important that you make this important, and that when you're having your discussions with your bureau directors, this comes up every once in a while. Another piece of what you can do to help us do this work, passing the resolution, of course, but when things that are coming out of your offices and out of your bureaus are happening, and they have a big impact. For example, the single plastic reduction policy. When the mayor's office came up with this with planning, I was brought in from the beginning, and I truly believe we had a better policy in the end that really addressed the needs and of people with disabilities in a way that no other city that has put one of these policies into place did. And that is important. And we don't always know what your offices are doing. So please remember to say, hey, contact the Office of Equity with this one, because it's a big one. And we want to make sure that it's inclusive of everyone.
So civil rights work is really about institutionalizing and standardizing best practice across the institution, which means that in this form of government, the role of council is even more important. So it's really critical that we have your leadership and partnership in this effort. We know that this kind of standardization is going to be the only way that we can make sure that this lives past the people in the room. And that's really what this is about. It has to live beyond the people. It has to be ingrained within the system itself.
So next steps, what's next? I think over the next 2 years, our office will be coming back to you. You can see on our last slide all of the different things that we are planning on doing. So we're planning on coming back to you with reports on how that's happening. We also really hope that as we do that, it's a prompt for you to be talking to your bureaus about how they're doing. And as I said, eventually we will be coming to you with kind of report cards to let you know what that looks like. I know how important this is to all of you. I have sat in council chambers many times. Commissioner Fish, you've talked about your dad being an original signer of the ADA. I am so excited that we have finally gotten to this place. The step of having the Office of Equity take this on as a really key core directive of its mission is really going to change how everything goes forward from this point on. So thank you all. And I think with that.
Mayor. Commissioner Fish.
Well, thank you for your excellent presentation. You got my full attention when you said you're gonna be moving to a report card system. And if I could make a couple of observations about that, which I hope will guide your work. First of all, I love the idea of a report card. Second, I hope you will engage the council deeply in how you actually structure the report card. You know, we have some great examples of the equivalent of the report cards, which I think are highly successful. A good example I would use is the way the Technology Oversight Committee does its reports to council and just uses the simplicity of you know, green, yellow, or red to tell us, you know, where we are in various things, and that, you know, is very easy to interpret and the like. The second thing is, I think it's very important that we have a consensus around what it is you're measuring. And this is a pet peeve of mine because I still believe at budget time we have some dashboards that don't make any sense, that don't sort of relate to what I'm hearing from the community or aren't necessarily as helpful as I would like in terms of measuring a bureau's progress. Sometimes these dashboards become really inside baseball things, and I think we lose track. So I encourage you to consult with the council about what a report card would look like, get some feedback in terms of the kinds of things you're measuring, and then keep it as simple as possible using as a touchstone what technology oversight has done so that it becomes easy for both us and the public to see where there's a significant hole. And I wish you luck with that.
Commissioner Hardesty.
Thank you. I want to thank you all for your very compelling testimony. When I first saw this on the agenda, I went, gosh, isn't that the law?
Right.
And so I greatly appreciate your work. I would like to invite you to use us, the elected officials, as your guinea pigs, so that when you roll out your first training, you do it with us and our staff, so that we have a better understanding of what you're asking us to ask our staff to do. So I didn't talk to my colleagues, but I'm
That's a good idea.
Seeing some. Sorry. but I think it would be helpful for us to be able to spread this information based on knowledge that we've gotten through a training program. So thank you for your hard work, and thank you for the opportunity for us to be a model for how we make sure that everybody's voice is heard in this process. And I know Phil Wolf is probably listening. He's going to really appreciate that, because for someone who is deaf, the city of Portland is a very hard place to maneuver. And so he's going to greatly appreciate it, and many other people who don't feel that every opportunity is available to them based on who they are. So thanks.
Great report. Carla, is there public testimony on this item?
Yes, we have four people signed up.
Okay, very good. Excellent, excellent presentation. Thank you. We look forward to seeing the progress.
The first three, please come on up, are Diana, Jeanne, and Maggie.
2 minutes each, please.
I don't ever do this, but I want to go first.
Go for it.
My name is Jeanne Kinnett, and you guys, by law, have to listen to this, by law. But this is what you all want to hear. So let my time run out.
Does that complete your testimony? Very good.
No, this does
not complete, please.
Mr. Wheeler?
If you're just going to sit at the microphone and not talk, that is not testimony. Legal counsel, is she entitled to 2 minutes if she has no testimony?
We can't.
I would let her take the 2 minutes.
Very good.
Thank you.
So while we've got this pause, colleagues, you can hear in the distance a leaf blower making an incredible amount of noise. And if we were outside, we'd probably be watching someone move two leaves from one from the sidewalk onto the street and ultimately into our gutters and clogging the gutters.
And ironically, we'd be getting more done.
I just want to say relief is on the way, and we'll have more to say about that in December.
Very good.
Commissioner Fritz, I just want to thank you for your good work on bringing that former panel. I think this is revolutionary work that you've been involved in, and look forward to seeing what comes next. So.
Thank you. I really also honor the Mayor Wheeler, who had the Bureau before I did and who initiated this work. We took a little bit more time to get it right. But I think, the presentation really exemplifies this is what we mean by inclusive engagement.
Yes.
And meaningful access. As part of the meaningful access, there's going to be more on that coming soon.
But. Yes, I think this is a model, and a model of when there was pushback, you slowed down, took more input, just how we started this morning. So I feel like we're on a roll.
Yep, good. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Diana. I love this so much. I think this is exactly what our city needs. Enforcing Title VI, Title II for people to not be discriminated against based off of their disability needs, their racial ethnicities, and even going beyond that for Title 23. I want to say thank you to the presenters for all of this information and for speaking up for what is right and laying out the guidelines of what is acceptable and what isn't acceptable. This is such an important thing. It's very, very, very important. So I'm in full support of this. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Good morning.
First, I would like to note that I don't appreciate being treated unequally by being given 2 minutes. And next, I would like to say it is so difficult for people with disabilities when they come to government, which is the land, bureaus and contractors, which is the land of I will do what I am supposed to do when you, citizen, make me do it. So I'm all for lawsuits because there are so many civil rights violations on people with disabilities and other people who are marginalized. I would say that bureaus do need to monitor their contractors, and the only way they can do that is to receive complaints, because you don't want to give the complaints to the contractors because they are terrible at policing themselves, let me tell you. And I appreciate that there's going to be an internal advisory body that's going to, excellent point, Commissioner Hardesty, on having you guys being trained as well. Because let me tell you, the employees that the contractors employ at these shelters often violate the civil rights of people with disabilities. In fact, this has been September. I was involved with 2 fellow consumers whose civil rights were violated and ended up at Oregon Disability Rights, which, by the way, I think does an abysmal job. And I had some contact with the Bureau, and this time they were more helpful, the JOHS.
Thank you. Thanks, both of you.
The last person who signed up is Courtney.
Is Courtney here?
Vote. Doesn't look like it.
Doesn't look like it. All right. Any further discussion? Please call the roll on the resolution.
Fritz?
Thank you, colleagues, for your attention to this crucial work. As the Office of Equity engages in its strategic planning process in the coming months, civil rights compliance will continue to be a core focus of the Bureau's work. Thank you very much to Danielle Brooks, Nicole Chiron, and Director Markeisha Smith for your leadership and important work. And it was referenced how long Danielle and Nicole have been at the City. I really appreciate all of your work in setting up the Office of Equity and in making sure that this compliance work has been a core part of it from the very beginning. Thank you. And thank you to Lin Vu in the City's Attorney's Office, Claire Adamsick in my office, Jonathan Simeone and Tatiana Elihaldi in the Office of Equity, and also our other partners, including Joanne Johnson in the Office of Community and Civic Life. This is work that we all need to be doing. I have found with my bureaus that simply asking for a quarterly report on how are we doing with our compliance has been very effective in getting progress made. And thank you, colleagues, for your partnership in this. I know, as was mentioned, we all share this passion, and we will make sure that our bureaus do too. Aye.
Fish.
Thank you, Commissioner Fritz, for your longstanding leadership on this issue. Thank you for an excellent presentation from the panel, a great PowerPoint, and we look forward to working with you to shape the report card and to manage the next steps of implementation. Aye.
Hardesty.
Once again, I want to be very appreciative of the panelists that spoke so passionately about our need to make sure that we do this right. I want to again appreciate my colleagues, Commissioner Amanda Fritz, Emil Wheeler, for their work in getting us to this place. It's amazing to me sometimes how hard it is to do the right thing. And it just takes people just sticking to it and just reminding people and just being a pest and just, you know, I've been called all those things and it's all good. But This is what happens when you become a pest or a thorn in someone's side. Action actually happens. I vote aye.
Wheeler.
Again, great presentation. Thank you, Commissioner Fritz. And the measurement aspect of this, the accountability piece, I think are critically important. We have clearly stated values, but without measurement, accountability, and clear progress, they're just words. And so I appreciate the thoughtfulness with which the panel came forward with their recommendations, and I look forward to seeing how those next steps unfold in the coming year. Thank you for your presentation. I vote aye. The resolution's adopted.